It's time now for the Pulpit Hour, featuring some of God's choice preachers. Stay tuned at the end of today's message for information on how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon.
Joshua chapter 3, let's read verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now I want you to look at verse 9 of chapter 4. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now back to verse 1 of chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Then in verse number 14, I want you to notice this verse. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Look at verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time come, saying, What mean these stones? Then shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before you until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. Thank you, and be seated all over the house. Let's seek the Lord's face now in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I bow here in your presence tonight, and I'm honored to be here. Not worthy to be here, but by the blood of the Lamb of God, we've been made accepted in the Beloved. And because of the calling of God and the help of God and the open door, Lord, we're here tonight, all of grace. It is of your mercies that we're here tonight. And Lord, as I come into your presence, I confess before thee that I can't, but you can. Lord, will you help me tonight? I pray, God, you'd touch us by your power. I pray the anointing to come. And Lord, if the anointing of God will come upon thy servant, the work will get done in God's way, and God will get the glory for it. So help us, Lord. We need your help. Ask you for guidance and wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray not only for your servant as we stand to preach, but for these that are here in the congregation, that you'd open their ears
And Lord, help them to focus their attention on the Word of God and hear something from the Lord tonight that'll bless them and help them on to God. Now, Lord, help us. We'll praise you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, for a text verse tonight, I want to call your attention to verse number 6 and the last statement made there. It says, "What mean ye by these stones?" When your children shall ask you in days to come, "What mean ye by these stones?" I want to preach on this subject tonight on stones. And in fact, at the church for the last several months, about 20 or 25 different messages, I have been preaching on the subject of what the rocks say, or what mean ye by these stones. I took originally for a text when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and they got to praising him and saying, "Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And there was some of that religious hierarchy and hypocrites that said, "Master, make these be quiet. You hear what they're saying?" And he said, "If these be quiet, the rocks will cry out." And I got to thinking about what the rocks might say. And I began to do a Bible study, literally from Genesis to Revelation, on sermons in stone. And this is a part of one of those messages tonight that I want to deal with. There are stones that speak of worship, the altar stone. There are stones that speak of a witness that is before us. There are stones that speak of the Word of God, stones that speak of the work of God. I want to tell you what, the stones have got something to say if we'll just listen to what the stones say. But tonight, I want to look here in our text before us as we think about these stones that speak of witness. They are memorial stones from Jordan. Now, as we come to this context, Israel has now crossed Jordan miraculously, and they have walked where no man had ever walked and had seen the power of God open up a way when there was no way. And isn't that the way God is? He can still open up a way when there ain't one. Say amen right there. But Joshua chapter 4 tells us of the erection of two memorials, one in Jordan and one in Gilgal. One in Jordan erected by Joshua alone. And that's significant to me because you know what Jesus means? Jesus is the Greek rendering of Joshua, the Jehovah's salvation. And boy, I'm telling you what, there was one that was to be erected in the midst of Jordan. Oh yeah, by Joshua himself. Can I say this? Those 12 stones set up in Jordan speak of the death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, who went beneath the dark waters of Jordan and tasted death for every man. I'm telling you what, brother, and you think about when he went down into the dark waters of judgment for us. We too were identified with him. We are crucified with him. We are buried with him, and now we're raised, hallelujah, in him. But I look at those stones. They speak of the work of Christ, those in Jordan. But then you see there is instruction given for 12 men to be selected. Isn't that interesting? 12 to be selected, and they're going to go into a ministry. They're going to go down there neath the watery grave of Jordan that has been exposed, amen, by the law of God. I wish you get that. I'm telling you what, when the Ark of the Covenant came down into the water, hey, the waters opened up. And these rocks down there on the bottom, I'm telling you what, they are now exposed. There they are. Amen. I'm running ahead of myself. I'm about to have a spell. Some of you don't know where I'm going, but I do. And I'm holding back. The straps are about to break. I'm telling you they are. But anyhow, here are 12 men that are selected. And they have a ministry of going down to what used to be the bottom. Amen. Going down to the muck and the mire. And they're going to lift up some stones. And they're going to carry them out. And they're going to bring them to Gilgal in the promised land. And there, hallelujah, in the promised land, Joshua is going to take those stones brought up by those 12, and he's going to erect a memorial in Gilgal. Man, if you can't see the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and my friend, and the work of the apostles, hallelujah, and the work of the church in rescuing souls out of the muck and mire, and the fact they brought, hallelujah, to Gilgal, which means a circle that speaks of infinity, eternity, hallelujah. And there, Joshua erects them, hallelujah. Christ said, I'll build my church. I say, hallelujah, glory, praise, hallelujah. That gets me plumb excited. But I want to expound a little bit now on these memorial stones. What mean ye by these stones? There were stones set up by Joshua himself in verse 9, stayed under the water. Out there buried in the water, 12 stones. That sense this is where the high priest stood. And my friend, nobody was able to see that much of what happened there. And you and I, though we would like to think about it and do like to meditate about it, we do not know all that transpired between a holy God and the spotless Lamb when he became sin for us on bloody Calvary. But I'll tell you what, he satisfied God absolutely completely. Amen. Well, now, as we look here in Joshua 4, something else occurred to me. That boy, not only was there the work of Christ seen in the fact that Joshua set up stones. By the way, he gave the command. He's the one that gave the command at the direction of God for them to walk to the Jordan with the ark. Amen. Yes, he is. And he sets up stones in the Jordan. That speaks of the work of Christ, what he did at Calvary. He selects 12. That speaks of the work of the church, of which the 12 apostles are the foundation, or my friend, built on the foundations, and their witness for God. But I looked at verse 14, that on that day, did you see that? On that day when the waters of Jordan were parted, when the waters of Jordan, my friend, when the children of Israel made their crossing on dry ground, on that day, hallelujah, when these memorials were erected, on that day when these stones were lifted out of the muck and the mire, on that day, the Bible said in verse 14, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. Hey, let me run yonder to the glory world. Amen. When the all is over and we've all made our crossing, some of us on dry ground, hallelujah, some of us through the air, but we've crossed Jordan and we've got yonder that city. Hey, and there are memorials erected to the grace of God. I'm telling you what, it's going to be the song of that city. Hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb. We'll magnify our heavenly Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, forever and forever. I say hallelujah for that. Amen. Now, I want to look a little more at these stones. I hadn't really got time. This is about a whole series of messages. I'm going to try to cram it into about three or four
minutes here if I can. Probably can't. If I told you I was half done, I'd be lying. I won't get done. I can see that already. But I want you to see this about these stones. What these stones say. And I, particularly tonight, I want to look at these stones that were brought out of Jordan and set up in Gilgal. And I just want you to think about what these stones say. They got something to say. I mean, they really do. They've got something that they are a message they give. There's a witness that they give. They are a memorial. They've got something to say. Now think about these stones, and there's about five things I want to mention about them. Though those of you that are taking notes, jot this down. Number one, I would mention the existence of these stones. The existence of these stones. Their place, their plight. Where was their place? Well, they were at the bottom of the Jordan. By the way, the word Jordan means flowing down. The River Jordan is a type of humanity and the type of the sons of Adam that had its beginning in the high and lofty place of Mount Hermon and the cold, clear, snowy waters that melt and began the headwaters of the Jordan. But from that point, it's down. Down, down, down. Jordan flowing down from a high peak of Mount Hermon flows down, down, down. And where does it end up? In the Dead Sea. In the Dead Sea. And that speaks of humanity. That speaks of the depravity of the sons and daughters of Adam. I want to tell you, brother and sister, but let me remind you that, hey, that God done a work here. Because when those priests put their feet in the water, my friend, the Bible tells us that this river was overflowing all of its banks. But I like to think about this, and I've been looking at this, verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam. Isn't that amazing? God seems to be saying something. Yeah, in Adam, all die. In Adam, it's a flowing down, and there's death. And there's destruction. But hallelujah, divine interposition of the grace of God cut the waters off, held them up a heap, hallelujah, and made a way of escape. Boy, that's another message in itself. The existence of these stones down at the bottom of Jordan that speaks of humanity. And my friend, that was their place. Then their plight. These stones, their plight. Well, they're lowly. They're lost. They're low down. They're in the muck and in the mire. They're down there in that squishy stuff. You don't like to walk on in the bottom of the river. They're down there amidst all the silt and all the filth of all the runoff of that whole area. As it gets further toward the Dead Sea, the nastier and the more filthy it becomes. And Jericho is about as far, my friend, down near the Red Sea, my friend, that you can see the river. I'm telling you, before it comes in to the depth of the Dead Sea. So down there, all the silt and all the filth. But there these stones are. They're in the bottom of the river. They're in the muck and the mire. Now you say, Brother Rudy, where in the world are you going with that? I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm thinking about my poor lost soul. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was in the muck and mire. I was not only in Jordan, but I was down buried in the filth and the stench of my sin. That's where I was. That was my existence. But then, number two, consider the exposing of these stones. Now, wait a minute. Look what happened. Now, they are down there, an old muddy Jordan. It's called that reason because it's like most rivers. Man, that far down, it's muddy. I've been up there
near the beginning of it. It's clear. It's crystal clear. Like some of these creeks coming out of the mountain. A boy on down there by Jericho is nasty. It's dirty. And you couldn't see them stones. They down there in the dark. They down there in the filth. They're down there in the mire. Ain't no help for them. There ain't no light gets to them. They're just there. They're there, captured in their environment. Victims of an unclean circumstance. They're down at the bottom. They're down in the muck and the mire, way down. But then there comes a day. There comes a day when all of a sudden these stones are exposed to light and to air. Think about it. They've been down in the water. They've been down in the mire. They've been down in the dark. But all of a sudden, for the first time, these stones get light. Unfiltered, unadulterated, pure light. And they get some air. They began to have the wind to blow on them. They'd had the current of filthy waters on them, but they never had the wind blow on them until this day. I'm talking about those stones, my friend, down in the bottom. Now, how in the world did this happen? What caused such a thing to happen? Well, three things that I glean. First of all, they are exposed by the priest of God. The priests of God are the men of God, hallelujah, that carry the word of God. See where I'm going? You see where I'm headed? Well, those priests, I'm telling you what, brother, may I say of us, hallelujah, thank God for the man of God. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. I'm telling you what, I'm glad for the footwork of the man of God that stood and preached, hallelujah, in my life one day. And for the first time, God parted the waters of darkness and the dismal mess that I was in. And for the first time, light broke in on me. And I began to feel some wind. New experience. Whoop. Oh, if I'm telling you what, they were exposed. I'm talking about these 12 stones now down the bottom. They were exposed by the priest of God. They were exposed by the precepts of God. Because what these fellas were carrying were the Ark of the Covenant. Wherein's the Decalogue? Amen. And I'm telling you what, the law was given to do. The law was not given to save, but the law was given to make you want to get saved. The law was added because of sin so that we might feel the wickedness of our transgression. And the law has an exposing work. I tell you, when God's law will plow you up and it'll put the light on your dark life and it'll show you where you're at in the muck and the mire. That's what the preaching. We need to preach the commandments of God because God gave the commandments. He hadn't changed his mind about them. They're not 10 suggestions. Hello? And hey, you know what? We have to love sinners, but we also got to law them. Because you got to law them, you got to preach, amen, against sin. When you law them, they'll get lost. And when they get lost, they'll be looking to get lifted. I want you to see here, brother, that they were exposed. These stones were exposed by the priest of God. They were exposed by the precepts of God. But they were exposed. I'm talking about this tonight. Can you see the picture here? Here's the river now. It's deep out there in Jordan down there at Jericho. I mean, that's one of the deeper parts. Right before you get in the Dead Sea, you can see the Dead Sea from that area. And it's deep waters and it's murky and and you can't see those stones out there. Ain't nobody even knew they was there. But I'll tell you, Joshua did. Our heavenly Joshua did this. Boy, when them priests took down, put a step into the river, praise God, the waters parted, and they walked on out there and stood in the midst, and they kept parting, and they getting higher, and they keep getting higher. The waters were cut off, hallelujah. The wind got to blowing. Say, how you know there's wind? Because they went on dry ground. And you don't walk across a brook, my friend, a dry river brook that hadn't been in the wind for a while. It ain't dry, it's mulky. They went on dry. Can you see that? Well, I'm seeing so much. I don't know what. Write this down. We may write a book about it. Exposed. Now there they are. They're down there. But for the first time, here comes the men of God. They come with the message of God. And then there's the move of God. I'm talking about there's the priest, there's the precepts, there's the power of God that rolls the waters back. Hallelujah. And stops the destruction and the flowing down of Adam's race and getting ready to redeem, hallelujah, that which is sunk and that which is in the muck and the mire. And that, hallelujah, God is doing a work. That's what he did for my soul. I praise God for the men of God that preach the message of God and the miracle of the new birth that brought me out. Now, well, let's go further, go a little further. The existence of these stones, the exposing of these stones. Number three, the extracting of these stones. I like that. he did. These 12 fellers, they went out there. And my friend, I'll tell you what, man, I keep getting a picture of those 12 apostles. The Lord carried 12. I know one of them was a devil, but God had a Paul, hallelujah, to come right on through there. And God had a Matthias. God had the 12. There's a reason for the 12. Governmental perfection. And my friend, there's a reason for the witness. And by the way, bless God, until God's Holy Ghost moved, there wasn't much gathering of, hallelujah. But when the Holy Ghost got to breathing and a blowing, they was able to go down there, hallelujah, and gather out some of them stones. Now, notice, just thinking about that. Command ye, verse 3, to these 12 men, saying, tell you what, you fellas, you go in the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's foot stood firm, and you get you 12 stones. You carry them over with you. Amen. I like that. And back in verse 5, Joshua said, in the Passover before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. But anyway, think about extracting. Now, here's something I was thinking about these stones. Number one, can I say that, and if this bothers you, you just have to be bothered. But these stones were, number one, they were salt. They were salt. They wasn't looking for Joshua. They wasn't looking for the Lord. They wasn't looking for the deliverer. But I want you to know, somebody come looking for them. By the way, God's not lost. We're the ones lost. He come looking for us. Amen. Somebody said, I found it. Well, he ain't an it. He's a him. Bless God, I didn't find it. He found me. Oh, but I'm telling you what, he sought me. Doesn't the Bible said of our Lord Jesus Christ that he came to seek and to save that which is lost? Oh, I can see him out on the mountains. Oh, yes, seeking that lost sheep. He came seeking for me. He came seeking for you. He sent my friend men of God with the message of God. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. And then he had those of my friend's servants of his, evangelists. Praise God, that come right down there where we is at. Now that's what they did. Oh man, there's another whole route to go there, but they were salt. These fellers didn't stand over there on the edge of Jordan and say, hey, come on up here. They had to go down where they is at. That might be what Paul meant when he said, I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Sometimes we act like we're a little afraid to get our hands dirty. Come on now. And we feel like we're too goody-two-shoes or something. It might be soiled if we was to go and put our arm around an old sinner, my friend, that has the stench of where they puked after they've been on a hangover. Well, I'm glad, hallelujah, that there's somebody loved me when I was unlovely. I'm glad there's a saint of God that got under a burden for me, hallelujah, and prayed for me and came to where I was at. I'm glad somebody, whoo, brought the message by my way. I'm glad the Lord sent somebody, hallelujah, to confirm the witness in my heart. Amen. Oh, if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to get in the seeking business. Oh, we need to seek to be a witness and seek to win the lost and seek to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and lift the fallen. Hey, they were salt. Then I think about these stones. Number two, they were selected. Ain't that interesting? They's picked out. Now, that may bother you, but I know this about the people of God. We're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And that has nothing to do with free will. That's talking about the will of God. I'm telling you, God knows who's going to get in and who ain't going to get in. He made man a free moral agent, and we have a free will, but God knows who will and who won't. Somebody said it's like this. As you come into the church, over the door it says, whosoever will, let him come. But as you get in, look back, it says, elect from the foundation of the world. Woo! I'm glad, hallelujah, he picked me out. I'm glad he selected me in his grace. There's a whole lot of stones over there in the Jordan that's still buried in the muck and the mire. I'm telling you, not every person has faith and not every person responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But hallelujah, for the grace of God that worked in our life, that brought us, hallelujah, he not only sought me, he selected me. Woo! I'm telling you what. And then something else about them stones, that is that they are, for lack of a better term, they're just scooped up. Yeah. Somebody had to get their hands dirty. Somebody had to reach down there and get a little mire on them. Oh, yeah. But praise God we saved them. So as my friend, we hate even the garments spotted by the flesh. But we got to go. We got to go where they're at. And we may get us getting down there by friend. Oh, yeah, I'm getting our hands dirty. But if it's somehow or another, our efforts can lift one out. Scooped up. Amen. Boy, in the last month, we've had the Lord doing some scooping work at the church. About three Sundays in a row, the Lord did scooping work. Woo! Yeah! He plucked some from the burning and lifted them up out of the mire. He not only assaulted them and selected them, he scooped them up. But they something else these fellas did. They had to shoulder. Amen. See, they reached down in there, scooped them, sawed them, selected them. I think that's one that respond to the gospel. There's a whosoever will right there. He said, I will. Amen. Scoop him up. Praise God. Put him on the shoulder. Woo! He lifted me out from the deep miry clay. Hallelujah! He not only lifted me, he put me on his shoulder. Shoulder speaks of the strength of the Lord. Woo! Our Savior has broad shoulders, broad enough to save whosoever will, powerful enough to lift my friend the fallen soul, able to save to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Hey. Boy, got them on their shoulders. And I like this. Praise God, folk. This is enough to make an Episcopalian have a spell. Or a Presbyterian to kick the back out of the choir robes, as Joe Arthur would say. But I see this, man, not only the extracting of these stones, but the exalting of these stones. Now get this, they are brought out. He didn't just scoop them up and throw them back down. Now religion will scoop them up and throw them down. False profession look like they got scooped up and they last about 15 minutes. Amen. A lot of folk get it in their head and never get it in their hearts. You know what I'm saying. But these stones, they were lifted, praise God, and they were brought out. Oh, yes, brought out. They wasn't left down there. I'm glad he didn't leave me in my sin, in my degradation. I realize I've still got a lost body. But I got a saved soul. And bless God, I can say one thing about it. Since he came into my life, there's been a change. Oh yes. You can ask anybody that knew me before and knew me after. They'll testify to the fact that's a different boy than he was. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When the Lord saves a sinner, he doesn't leave him down there in his sin. Amen. Can you see this picture? The exalting of they're brought out. They're brought out of the Jordan. They're brought out of the death. They're brought out of the darkness. They're brought out of the mire. They're brought out of the muck. They've been lifted up and carried on the shoulders. Whew, I like that. They're not only brought out, but praise God, they're brought forth. They're brought forth into my friend, to a place called Gilgal. Man, I'm telling you what, and Gilgal, praise God, is on yonder side of Jordan. And Gilgal on yonder side of Jordan speaks of resurrection. I'm telling you what, he lifted us out of death and he brought us into life. Hey, he brought us out of dope and gave us hope. Praise God, he brought us out of sin and gave us salvation. He brought us out of damnation and gave us deliverance. I'm telling you what, praise God, we've been brought out and we've been brought forth. Away from the mire and away from the clay. Away from the dark, dirty waters of Jordan. I don't have to be that way anymore. Hey, brought out, lifted out, brought up, brought out. And then one other thing, brought into the promised land. That's where they brought. Praise God. He brought us up. Brought us out to bring us into. I'm headed to glory, heaven bound with the hammer down. Hallelujah. The exalting of these stones. And then I would mention number 5, the erecting of these stones. Now we look over here in verse number 20. And those 12 stones which they, that's the 12 men, took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. See, all they do could carry. He had to do the building. He's the one that does the erecting. Joshua is. Amen. Hey, fellas, we don't know where to fit them, but he knows where to fit them. Say amen right there. Yes, sir. And so here we find that these 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Now, erecting of these stones gathered by the 12, but erected by Jehovah's salvation. The place, resurrection ground. The promised land, amen. The land of victory. The land where the milk and honey flows. The land where the giants are cut down and the battles are won. Hallelujah! And Gilgal, which means a circle, but it also means a rolling away of reproach. Oh, my soul. And when grace began to work in our life and brought us out and put us in the hand of Jesus, he's in the business of rolling away the reproach of our old life. We ain't done yet, but when we get done, hallelujah, we'll fit. Say amen right there. Then I thought of interesting here about the period. This is amazing. Verse 19, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Did you know what that 10th day of the first month is? Well, that 10th day of the first month, which was refers to the day that the Paschal Lamb was selected. Go back to Exodus 12. So we're coming back to look at the lamb again. Amen. And I want to magnify the lamb. Praise God. Every chance I get, I want to magnify the lamb. And so, by the way, praise God, it's the work of the lamb that got us up, got us out. And something else interesting about this, this is the day the Passover lamb was selected. On the 10th day, it was slain on the 14th day. And, of course, that was Passover. And they did celebrate Passover. But something else was, this is 40 years lacking 3 days. Do you feel that? Since they come out of Egypt, 40 years lacking 3 days. Woo! Goodness gracious. Hey, well, I can see something in this period, my friend. I'm telling you what, God done a wonderful work. Hey, and then notice something else, the purpose now. Now Joshua pitched these, so he erected them. The purpose was for three things. Number one, a memorial. A memorial erected at Gilgal to be a testimony to all that might pass by. Hallelujah, of the mighty deliverance of God. A God that has redeemed a people and brought them out, brought them into, hallelujah, and fulfilled the promises, a memorial. Boy, I think about us. We get home to glory. We're going to be trophies of grace. Woo! Erected, hallelujah, in glory land. And hey, I'm telling you what, forever we'll testify of the grace of God that brought us up and out and into the promised land. Not only a memorial, but a mark to mark the very place of the crossing and of their first lodging. And then a message to the coming generations. A message to the people of Israel. A message of the mercy of God. God dried up the waters. A message of the faithfulness of God. He kept them dried up until they were clean passed over. Did you hear that? God's not only merciful, He's faithful. Praise God, He don't do a halfway anything. What He does it right, and it's right. Hallelujah. He's going to finish what He started. He opened up the way, and it stayed open until they all got across. A message of the grace of God. As long as the priest stood in the Jordan, the way stood open. They could cross. Amen. But there came a day when they came up out of Jordan, and then the waters came back across, and my friend overflowed all of its banks, and the way was closed. I'm glad I got in while the day of grace was open. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I want to tell you the grace of God is being extended unto you tonight. And we've bought the message and we preach you the word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Say amen right there. But if you keep saying no, one of these days, my friend, the waters of that river of opportunity, we'll come back together and the grace of God will be over. You can send your day of grace away. And then I think about something else. Man, a testimony, a message of the love of God. Let your children know. Let them know what I've done for you. A message of the power of God. It's God that done that. A message for the children of Israel, but a message, and I close with this, a message for the entire world. Look at verse 24 and I'm done. I'll just have to quit. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get a copy of this message, go home and study. I think I got about 15 different more messages. Praise God, I got my appetite kind of. Did you? I can see some of you fellas just clicking, man. It's, man, I'm going to go preach it. Hey, if you preach it, send me $5, will you? I'm just cutting up. It's God's word. But verse 24, that all the people of the earth, not just the Jews, but that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Woo! Can I say this? They've laughed at us, made fun of us. We've been the butt of their jokes and the off-scouring of society, and we've been ridiculed for our old-fashioned worship and our old-fashioned salvation. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day when every eye of Adam's race, I'm telling you, he's lost without God. All the wicked over all the ages, they're not only going to stand before God, but they're going to see, hallelujah, the blood-bought, redeemed people of God. Hey, hey, yeah, the wicked are going to see the saved. They're going to see the saved. And themselves condemned, they're going to see it. Every eye is going to behold, hallelujah, the blood-bought people of God as God's mighty power unto salvation. They may not recognize us here, but they'll sure know us there. I'm glad, hallelujah, He brought me out from the deep miry clay. He planted my feet on the heavenly way. He lifted me. He loved me. Yeah, He sought me. He bought me. He brought me. He shouldered me. He scooped me up. Hallelujah. He set me up. Hey, hey. And you know what? He sets up something, it fits. Woo! I don't fit in this world, but I fit in His church.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
That concludes our Pulpit Hour message for today. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, you can call our studios at 828-884-9427 or write to us at WGCR 3232 Hendersonville Highway, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina 28768. You can also hear today's message on our website at wgcr.net. The Pulpit Hour is brought to you by Anchor Broadcasting.